What could be bad about the world's most low maintenance pet? Wouldn't that be good?
That would be great.
That's great.
Oh, thank you.
Right? Yeah. Okay. 99.1 PLR, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Ruth?
Yeah, so if you're lonely and you want some companionship and you want a pet, but you just don't want to take care of it, I've got something for you. It's called Perfect Polly. It's the world's most low maintenance pet. It's a little plastic parakeet that they sold on TV commercials, and it's called Perfect Polly. It's a very sad, very creepy looking little motion activated plastic parakeet that sits on a little perch, and its head kind of comes off its body and turns, and there's no tripping, no feeding, and it's being marketed for people that want a pet.
It looked like it was having a seizure where it was moving its head. Like,
It's really the saddest thing I've ever seen. It's the most.
And the little girl gets up. So the little girl gets up out of her bed, like all excited to see her plastic Polly.
What are the sounds?
Grandma, you have a pet?
That's the little girl hearing the chirping of Perfect Polly. Getting up out of her bed and running down the stairs, and they put the silly cartoon sound effects.
Yeah, is it a real girl or a cartoon?
No, it's a real little girl. Boy, I must say, he's doing a fantastic job of selling this.
This whole operation is stupid.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a bad idea, then the marketing people are also dopey.
Right.
The entire
family's like into it. Like they're like, you know, they're all petting it and holding it and things like that. I'm like, this family needs help.
sounded like the Flintstones when she was
exactly.
Yeah. It did. Yeah, that was Flintstones. Yep.
All right.
Grandma, you have a pet?
It's my singing parakeet.
Introducing Perfect Polly, the pet parakeet that comes to life when you enter the room. Look, Perfect Polly is motion activated. When you come near, she starts to move and sing. This life-size replica mimics the sounds and movements of a real parakeet in the wild. Perfect Polly turns to look at you, then starts to sing, and even shakes her tail feathers. Her cheerful, lilting song keeps you company.
Grandma.
You could tell this is a bad pet because they have all of the announcer and none of the pet.
Right.
You just hear that constant chirping in the background, which is enough to drive you crazy.
And if you slow it down, it's like, buy the bird.
All right. You know, it's funny. The bird kind of reminds me of, remember Dumb and Dumber when the blue polly?
Pulled its head off.
Pretty bird.
Pulled the head off. And he taped the head back on.
Pretty bird. Pretty bird.
That was so awesome.
I took care of it.
They should actually make a bird like that where you could pull the head off, put it
back.
That'd
be better.
You sold my dead bird to a blind kid?
Right. Comes with duct tape. Put its head back on.
Ugh.
Yep.
Is there more to this commercial?
There is.
Oh.
Everyone loves Perfect Polly. Parakeets are the most popular pet bird in the world, but they require a lot of care. Now, Perfect Polly brings you all the joy and no mess to make you mad. On your window or on the shelf. With your Perfect Polly, you're never by yourself. So lifelike you won't believe your eyes. Just look at the detail in this pretty little Polly. This life-size Perfect Polly looks
the music
right
makes no sense.
Cage.
It does not. No,
this is creepy.
It makes
wait for
no
Lone Ranger to go grab it.
It's like 1930s, like radio show commercial. Yeah.
Hi-yo, Silver. Oh,
they're definitely marketing this to elderly people who need a companion.
Right.
This is actually marketed to the family who feels guilty they don't visit their grandma.
Right.
And they're like, you know what? Just give her this friggin' thing.
Perfect Polly. Hey,
she needs a pet. I don't want her to trip over a cat and, bird is going to be crapping over everything.
Right.
That's what
she
I think.
She talks to the walls anyway.
It's trying to scratch like a nostalgia itch for older people. It's like, see all the music you remember from when you were young.
What they should do is have it poop out the pills she needs for the day.
Listen. This is already way better.
That's the perfect poly pill dispenser.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Wednesday.
Yes, how
Thursday.
Much?
Oh, comes Friday.
Blood pressure tablet.
That's great.
Grandma looks so much better since we got perfect poly.
Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News. Dumbass.
Look, kids, it's AJ.
Yee-hoo! Hey, kids.
Go get some candy corn. Dumbass. Go get candy
Enjoy
corn.
Enjoy your food.
I'm that
Enjoy
nice
your
man.
Candy, kids.
A man wearing a Speedo breaks into a 911 center, assaults dispatchers.
With what?
Yeah.
His weapon.
It's happened in Goffstown, New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, Goffstown.
Do we have a news report or a sound clip? News report? Here we go.
Terrifying moments inside the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office.
It hasn't happened in my 24 years here, and hopefully it never happens again.
One day, back in August, a man wearing nothing but a Speedo and yellow hat tried to get in the secure dispatch center.
Or one of our
That's scary.
Speedo and yellow hat.
Yellow hat, yes, to match the, you know, banana hammock.
Yeah, yeah.
What color is the Speedo? We need to know.
I want to know.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Rainbow, maybe.
And you have to be gifted to pull off a Speedo.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
If not, it's
and up there,
it's sad
and it's cold.
Like
up
you're
in
a Smurf.
So.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah. Up north gets cold up there.
Yeah.
When I hear the word, I always see a red one. I don't know why.
Oh really?
It's
I see green.
You do green.
It's interesting.
You're talking about
the
bathing suit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Speedo. Like when you hear Speedo, what color do you think? I always think green because what's that guy? Sacha Baron.
That
crazy green.
That was, the thong thing. Yeah,
the slinkini.
That's the one that comes to mind. Ruth, what color do you see?
I think of black, and that's also the color that the man in this story was wearing.
Oh, black.
Mm-hmm. I think blue.
Look at the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue.
Tried to get in the secure dispatch center.
One of our dispatchers was coming in for work and was accosted by Mr. Nickerson while she was trying to get inside the building.
Nickerson?
Wow. He should have been wearing some knickers.
No knickers on Nickerson.
He's got a blunt instrument.
Okay.
Authorities say 50-year-old Corey Nickerson barged in, and in the video, you can see him trying to get from the vestibule into the dispatch center. During the struggle, another dispatcher came rushing in to help.
And typically they're here rendering assistance over the phone and over the radio for people that are calling 911
This is
or
almost
have an
like from Terminator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Terminator walked into the police station.
Give them to me.
No. The scene from Terminator 1, he walks into the police department.
Oh,
and he goes, I'll be back.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to finish Sarah Connor's until she's here. Can I see her, please?
It's the opposite of Terminator. It's like it's a guy in a thong with a yellow hat.
Yeah,
I'll be back. Please don't.
Don't come back. Put some clothes on, then come back and see me.
You seem a little excited to be here, sir.
They have to get a lifeguard to throw him out.
That's the thing with a Speedo. You can't get excited. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And if otherwise, you do, we all know about it.
Yeah, otherwise, when you're laying on the beach, you always know what time it is.
Yeah. Well, you look like you're looking for water.
There's a sundial.
Exactly right. Hey, Geppetto, put Pinocchio away.
It's like a weird bird. That yellow hat, it's a weird bird with a big, long beak.
Yeah.
I found Toucan Sam. He smells fruit.
Walking into a police station, I might think he's armed.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And typically they're here rendering assistance over the phone and over the radio for people that are calling 911 or have an emergency that they need assistance for. And they found themselves needing assistance here.
Authorities say both the woman coming into work and the dispatcher trying to help are now both healing from both visible and invisible scars from that day.
Oh, my God. Wow. How big was his weapon?
Yeah.
I gotta be home. I can't go into work anymore.
At one point, the damn thing knocked my coffee mug off the counter.
He walked in and he pulled a hard roll off the countertop.
I felt it touch my arm.
I think it was prehensile.
I'm having nightmares of a man in a yellow cap and a big long beak. It's like being in the movie The Birds, but just one big one instead of lots of little ones.
I can't walk to the fruit department anymore and I see bananas.
Oh.
Well.
Yeah.
Wow.
This banana
That's
fruit,
pretty cool.
apparently. Yes.
Wait, there's someone who's going to work the system.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I saw a guy in a Speedo. I can't come to work anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Visible and invisible scarring.
Right.
Yeah, what's the visible scarring? What is the visible? What is, like, did you get poked in the eye?
Well, he was hitting people with it.
Right.
He's smacking. Yeah, thwacking. Yeah,
thwacking. Ow, 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 ow. Ow, get that off my face. What the hell? I have a bruised lip.
played Wipeout on his head.
Yeah. He gave me a black eye.
Okay.
They did sustain some serious bodily injury, and the emotional damage, you know, coming to work
this
every day.
This is the second time this show I made fun of someone and then found out I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Well, they really had one nunchuck.
What did he do? Did I miss it? Did he, like, physically attack people? I thought it was just a guy in a Speedo with a yellow hat.
Yeah.
They describe it as an attack.
What did he do?
The guy's trying to shove him out the door, and he punches him. But he's a lot smaller than the guy that he punches.
Oh, my God.
He's able to just push him out.
Well, first he hit him with a wand.
Right.
It's like one nunchuck.
That's a guy I don't want to wrestle to get into handcuffs. Oh, a guy in a Speedo? No.
Yeah, no.
You're free to go, pal.
Yeah,
please
go.
Please put these on, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see you take the taser up. Boom. Good night.
Right. This only seemed to excite him.
All right.
And knowing that this is where the act happens.
Sheriff Brian Newcomb commending the dispatchers for their bravery through what he calls a random attack.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? We're going to do, like, awards for this now?
Yeah.
This is pretty silly.
Yeah.
It is.
The guy in a Speedo.
Yeah. This is New Hampshire.
Yeah.
It took two of you to push him out the door. He swung at you, and now...
Oh, my God. This is
a whole thing.
This is Tuesday at 3 in the afternoon in Bridgeport, okay?
Yeah, right. This is like every afternoon.
This is like, you know, go be a big city cop for a day and then come back and see me. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
apparently,
he knocked on the door
with it first.
I've been scarred.
There's a bouncer listening for like a college bar right now. He's like, dude, this is my every weekend.
Yeah.
This is nothing.
Oh, my God. I throw five people out before 8 o'clock.
Yep.
Wow. They're going to get awards commended for their bravery.
Actually, I think that's a good idea for Chaz for tonight.
What? Speedo costume.
Speedo man.
Yellow hat and a Speedo. You're all set.
We could humiliate my entire family with one costume. All right.
Cold tonight.
Turn off the air conditioning.
You expect to come to work and be safe, and that wasn't the case that day by this dangerous individual who came and accosted them and their selfless act that they just helped each other out.
I want to vomit on this guy.
This is way crazy.
You pushed a nutbag out the door. Congratulations. Yeah, right. Get back to work.
And there's a whole news story on it.
Actually, you can see his nutbag.
Yeah. Not only was he a nutbag, he had one.
Right. Oh, my God. Can you imagine how many accommodations we'd have to write out in Connecticut?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Waterbury, New Haven, Bridgeport.
Yeah.
Thank you, by the way.
Yes.
Here's a public thank you. Thank you.
I don't have to deal with them, so that's a good thing. You're doing it.
Yeah, to them, they're listening to this like, oh, Paul.
Come on.
Right. Top that.
That's like daily.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And he was wearing something?
Beer. Yeah.
Yeah, and he had something on.
Jeez.
That's a step God. Up. I talked to a friend of mine who retired as a captain in a police department. He had to wrestle this naked guy who was sweaty and on drugs.
Ew.
No.
And tried to get him into cuffs, and his junk went over his face.
Oh!
Oh, there was none of soap out there.
Yeah. Did he get an accommodation?
He should.
No.
Wow.
No, he's getting mocked on the air for it right now.
That's right.
Yeah,
he's got interior
scars,
though.
The rest of his career. There's not enough mouthwash. There's not enough soap.
Was his
bad
name?
Bad chapstick.
Tracy.
Hmm. All right.
That they just helped each other out, and they were able to persevere and move forward and able to get him out the door.
Nickerson was arrested after leading police on a brief chase, and authorities
tell us... A brief chase.
No pun.
Should have been Dickerson.
Yeah.
Tracy.
Yeah. You know, if that's a foot pursuit, you're just seeing his ass cheeks.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
It's like applause.
I picture him running and holding the hat in place.
He's running. You just hear his butt flapping.
Two white cheeks.
Like old slices of bologna.
Bologna.
Slow down.
And he's wearing socks and sneakers, too.
It's Oscar Mayer.
Oh, all right. Well, fake news here. They said he was wearing just a Speedo and a hat.
Yeah.
Socks and what? Sneakers?
Looks like he's wearing sneakers. It's hard to tell in the footage, but he's definitely got something on his feet.
Mm.
Okay.
So he has a sense of style.
Right.
That's weird. How do you end up up there?
Or is hanging at Foxwoods?
Where's it coming from? Was there a pool nearby? Or
man.
There's not beaches, right?
New Hampshire. Yeah, where were his clothes? Like, did he leave the house like that? Did he start? Right. You know, that's... This is where the episode begins here, and then we go back and see his day. From the time his alarm clock goes off.
Right, right.
How does he end up at the dispatch center?
Right.
Sock sneakers, Speedo. Right.
What brought him there?
He's late for work.
How did all this happen?
He's late for work. He just runs out of the house with whatever he had on. Somebody cuts him off. He gets angry.
Or,
next thing you know,
was it laundry day?
Laundry day.
Yeah. Laundry day, yeah.
Or he was on his way to work. And he spilt his coffee, important meeting, goes to the laundromat, puts his clothes in the laundromat, and then he goes to get another cup of coffee because he needs his coffee.
Yep.
He comes back, someone stole his clothes.
Oh,
he calls 911. He says, someone stole my freaking clothes, and I need to go to a meeting.
Yep.
And the dispatcher says, pal, this is New Hampshire.
You're on your own.
You're on your own. Poop.
Yep.
He's like, oh, really?
Right. Yeah. Last straw.
I'm going to the dispatch center now. I'm going to log a formal complaint.
I like
keyword
that.
Log.
Wow.
A gambling scandal involving the NBA and the mob, allegedly, and a jewelry heist all in 1 week. Let's bring in Brian Foley. Hey.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing? Morning.
You wouldn't believe the amount of people that come up to me and talk about this segment on Chaz and AJ.
Really?
Yeah, and the ladies, too. But, yes, everyone's always coming up and saying something to me. Just the other day, someone came up to me.
You're so good. When I see you on the schedule, I'm like, all I have to do is say, what do you think?
Go on.
Yes. In a good way.
No, you bring complex ideas and stories, and you boil it down into an easily followed scenario.
Well, I tell everyone how funny you guys are. You're just too fast. Too fast. Go ahead. What are we talking about?
Let's start with the NBA scandal.
Fantastic. That's it's rocking the industry. Now, I know somebody very, very high at DraftKings, or I don't want to say where, but they are very much
gambling places.
Correct. They are very much, all those companies are very much into the integrity of the gambling. So they're the victims in this type of thing. Even if it doesn't involve them, they want the highest of scrutiny on these games and integrity. And so the arrests are a good thing to happen for someone like them. But the NBA thing is interesting. And these companies have ways of detecting when there's a bad bet coming in and algorithms, and they're able to shut them off a lot of times before the bets even go through. They'll tell them, we're not taking this bet. And that is like these weird little players that have over-unders on how many points they're going to get. I don't know if you're familiar with gambling. And they're able to, all of a sudden, there's, $200,000, this random bet on this random player for this random thing. And they can say, we're not taking that. That is an odd bet. That's not, it's not standard. And start fishing around, and then they'll pass that off to their security folks to start looking at those types of things. And that's how those things start. And then they build, and someone gets arrested, or someone gets caught, and someone coughs it up. And all these gambling arrests, into the poker, into the NBA, it all starts with informants going to the cops and giving information, and usually being levers themselves. They're in trouble. They're trying to get out of it, and so now they're rolling over on somebody else, and that's how it all starts. And you look at the poker thing. You saw how the poker thing was going?
Yeah, this FBI thing, it was a two-part deal. One was the NBA, where players were faking injuries. Some coaches were saying, we're going to throw this game. And it was involving the gambling, like you said. Then the other is the poker, where...
That's the big one, yep.
That's the big one.
And so they have high-tech tables that have x-ray machines that when you put your cards down on the table, the x-ray machines can see the cards, and then they communicate that to other players in the operation. And unfortunately, an NBA coach was involved in that. To what degree, we're going to find out. But you're looking, and then the shuffling machines, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Fast Jack Farrell in Hartford? Google it. Fast Jack Farrell. Now, he was well-known for his ability to load dice, fix roulette machines, wheels. those types of slot machines, all that stuff. And this guy was legendary and involved in all the Hartford Mafia, all the New England Mafias. His son ended up being a Hartford cop, of all things, working with us the best, and he was a great guy. But they made a movie about Fast Jack Farrell. Same exact thing. They had the machines, the illegal gambling operations. Who's going to gamble in an illegal place? That's what I wonder. You're basically trying to be a victim at this point, or they're capitalizing on your addiction to gambling. You know, gambling right. in a casino where you in the United States, and you know where you know it's going to be somewhat, for the most part, not rigged. You know, it's stacked for you to lose, but still not cheated. These are straight up mafia-backed cheating operations.
Allegedly.
And then when you allegedly,
I don't need any
you.
Trouble. I have a good life right now. Yeah. So yeah, the feds are saying it involved four of the five New York families, and they had all kinds of technology, like from cards that were marked and glasses worn by cheaters at the table can identify the cards, to this card counting, card shuffling machine that would tell people in another room who had the best hands at the table, to what you said was the X-ray table. They had all kinds of things. It was like a James Bond thing where you have, you know, Secret Service
really
in one
is.
Room and communicating with the agents in
right.
another room.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was going on for years, and they would have the fish, which was the high roller, lot of money, come into this game. And unbeknownst to him, all the people at the table were in on it. And they would have a face card. They called it a face card. And that would be like an NBA, former NBA coach, a former NBA player. It's kind of like, oh, this is legit. This is a big high roller game.
Right.
We got a real rich guy at the table, a celebrity, and brings him in. And then they would just rack the guy out.
Mm. Awful. It's you know, I mean, you're asking for going to an illegal, any sort of illegal gaming operation, but still they're in the millions. And the IRS, what's great about it, when the feds make these arrests, the IRS comes a-calling, and they'll start tracking how much profits they made, and you're going to have to pay taxes. They'll have to pay taxes on the illegal profits that they made. And if they don't, then they do even more time. And that's where the years start to pile on the Fed charges, is when our friends from the IRS get involved.
They said one of these games happened at a Kardashian house.
Wow.
So fantastic.
I think we're going to hear about more celebrities and more former players as time goes on. They arrested over 30 people, and some of those people will talk, right?
Oh, they call it proffer, and those interviews are very fruitful. Everyone starts to talk when these situations unfold, and this will just be the first layer of the onion with these arrests, with many, many more to come beyond it. The problem is, like we used to worry about, is now the violence comes. You know, now they're going to be able to start tracking who's talking and who isn't, and now you worry about the homicides that come after this with arrests like that. This the same thing when you get a drug dealer on a corner, you know, all right, we got him off that corner, but here comes the homicide, and you wait. And so that's the same thing.
That's happened on some of your cases?
Of course, yeah. Anytime you sweep a corner, anytime you go in and do a major drug operation in the city and take out a bunch of people and lock them up, you know, now you wait. Here comes the violence. Who you know, ratted on who, and when is the homicide coming? That's what you worry about. And then, of course, who's going to take over the next operation? So who's going to take over the next gambling operation in this case? And there'll be a fight over that.
Wow,
so
wow.
You worry about the violence on both ends that comes.
Brian Foley on the show. What'd you think of that jewelry heist at the Louvre?
That was amazing. A little bit better than the smash and grab at the K Jewelers at the mall.
Right.
But still not much beyond that for the actual theft. And you look at the diamonds and jewels and things that were left behind, and I know they got a lot, but they left some big stuff behind there. But very, very brazen, obviously. But you look at the security at the museum. Where's the guy with the long gun guarding the billions of priceless jewels that they have there? And they just had, you know, basic security, it looks like.
Someone on the inside was in on that, because there it was too clean.
Yeah. Sure, and that's something they'll look at. And you look at, there's different gangs over there in Europe, especially on the Eastern European side, and that's where they kind of suspect it went. And you worry about the jewel's now getting melted down. And it's the same thing around here when there's a jewelry heist, you know, or you'd say your house gets broken into and they stole a necklace that you had that was really expensive. You can identify it if they find it. But the problem is, you know, they bring it to the pawn shop and the pawn guy, he's got that thing melted and smelted in you know, a half hour. And it's gone. You're not going to be able to ID it now. It's gone. And the gold is gone and the diamonds are separated and everything. And so that's what they worry about with these types of things.
But, yeah, they're saying that that's what they think. How about the guy who dropped the crown?
Whoops.
You know, he left it behind. He dropped it. Like, that's going to be the dope of the, when they make the movie, it's going to be like, he's the dope.
Yep, they're going to find him in the river over there somewhere in, you know, in Czech Republic or something. It's going to be interesting. I don't know if they catch anybody on this. I really don't. They're gone into the woodworks, and that's where I think the high planning came in on that was the escape. You know, you consider all the high planning on that as opposed to like a smaller jewelry store robbery is the escape, and then they have to plan it out with all the video. How are they going to disappear into the woodwork? But the other end is fencing the jewels, and you know, if they're staying intact and going over to the Middle East to some collector somewhere, you know, maybe there's a chance they find them, you know, down the road. But the more likelier option, I think, is that they're going to melt them down and just, you know, fence out the actual jewels.
That was really four guys on a lift dressed as construction guys. Yeah. They blast through the window and they're out of there in like minutes.
Yeah.
They didn't have any weapons that they showed, no weapons, you know, and the advancement of battery tools now, there's not much you can't do in regards to, you don't need an extension cord or to run a, you know, a hammer or anything like that or an angle grinder. You can, the battery operated stuff, it makes it pretty easy to conceal and get in and use.
There's four guys that we saw, but how many do you think were involved?
Well, the more people that are involved, the more people that'll talk. So you try to keep those numbers pretty low. So I would say not much more.
Wow. All right. Brian, thanks for coming on. If we don't talk to you, what are you handing out at the Brian Foley House for Halloween?
Not too much. My house is set back far from the road. And, you know, I usually, you know, go around with my daughter or something like that. And I mean, my house isn't, we don't get anyone knocking on my door. Let me put it that way. There were towns of quiet town, but I would give out Kit Kats as my favorite.
Kit Kats. Wow. Okay, so it's chocolate.
Yep.
Oh my God, Kit Kats.
Wafer.
Those things. Oh God.
Great. Did you hear what DoorDash is saying the number one candy is in Connecticut?
Nope.
Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, not
really.
Bad.
I feel like that's wrong.
It's not bad. It's not the favorite.
There must
There's
be
no
something
way.
That
matches
DoorDash
the mood
people.
Of the residents.
Well, so kids today eat different stuff. They're not eating Snickers bars and stuff like that. You know, they eat different stuff, and you know, it's the Airheads and the Sour Patch Kids. Yeah, 100%. You know,
really,
with a daughter in her teens right now, that's I watch what she buys. That's what she gets. You know, if I asked her if she wanted a Kit Kat, she'd look at me like I was crazy.
Wow.
That's why I bought the Nerds gummy clusters. That's like that's all I hear about.
Yes. Yeah, those are, and unfortunately, the bag's laying around the house. You can't help but get them. Give me a bag of Big League Chew, and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, Brian Foley, thank you. Have a great weekend, brother.
See you guys.
All right. Let's talk to Paul Myers, brother of Mike Myers and author of John Candy on Life and Comedy. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Wow, you know, I saw a picture of you, and I'm like, well, where's the picture of Paul? That's Mike, because you look so much like Mike, and you sound like Mike, too. Is that annoying, or is that cool?
I think it's just genetics. I was just with Mike last night, and I can tell you we're two different people.
Okay, so you can confirm that you are not Mike.
Right, not the same person.
No, we're not being tricked by Mike Myers.
Sure,
no, you're not being punked. No, no, no.
That would be a very Mike Myers move.
We talk about comedy all the time, so you know. So yeah.
So as you were doing the research for this John Candy book, did you find anything that really surprised you?
Yeah, that John Candy. I feel like the reason he was such a great comedian was because he's actually such a great actor. He started out wanting to be a dramatic actor, and then got tricked into it by a friend of his named Dan Aykroyd, who I think you've heard of. And yes. Aykroyd asked him to put his name into audition for Second City Stage in Toronto, and then that led him to a life in comedy, frankly. And but he always brought the drama out in some of the serious moments in his films and certain other roles that he did later in life. So I think the fact that he was such a great actor is something I learned.
That's interesting, because when you see his movies, there's always a part in the movie that a comedian couldn't pull off. You know, there's some heartfelt moment where you're like, wow, he just got me. I didn't expect that one.
Right.
Didn't see it coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Because he was human. He brought humanity to his characters. They were three dimensional. You know, he knew those guys.
Was his weight a problem or was it an asset?
I think he was happy at first to let himself be written into parts that were for large guys. But then the press was merciless about, you know, the body shaming was really bad in the 80s. And I think you'll see in the book that it did weigh on him after a while, no pun intended. It was sort of the stress of that. And as he became more famous, he wanted to be always present for people. He always wanted to shake hands, sign autographs. But there was points when you could tell he didn't know how to say no to people anymore. And I think as he got older, he started to have anxiety about it. And he was on diets. He thought he should try and lose some weight. So I think he would have been funny no matter what weight he was. I think he knew that too. So, yeah.
Paul Myers is on, author of John Candy, A Life in Comedy. Where does the book pick up?
Well, the book basically, it goes all over the place, but in terms of the story, I tell the whole story. I tell where he was born. I'm actually in Toronto as I'm doing this interview. He was born here in this city, and, you know, his father died when he was 5 years old. So
what happened?
That's a huge... His father died of a heart attack, actually, which is eventually what killed John Candy, too.
Yeah, and it ran the
John's
family.
John's brother also had a heart attack, but he didn't pass away from that. And but it's just so there's that origin story, and also his high school years that he played football in high school, and then he had a knee injury, a career-ending knee injury that he might have been a football player, and he later owned a sports team, Toronto Argonauts in the CFL, because I think football was always one of his first loves. So that's something that you hear about and you can make sense of in the story because I tell it from the beginning, you know?
Yeah. Did you see the John Candy documentary that's out?
Yeah, I did, actually. I thought it was really neat because I go deep into a lot of this. You talk to a lot of people from behind the scenes, and the documentary does what they do really well, which is show clips of John and show famous people talking about John. But I also had a chance to talk to people who aren't famous, but who help you understand John. And to me, the two things are very complementary. And if I may, what's really interesting is we did them separately, but Ryan Reynolds has my book, and he like got it after it came out, and he flew me over to Boston to do an event with him for his movie. So I love that we're like two candyologists who are we're the only, me and Colin Hanks as well, we're the only people who kind of have done this work, intense research onto John Candy. And so I feel like now we're on the same team in a weird way, even though we have separate projects. So it's been really, the book has been really interesting to bring us all together, you know?
Do you think that they'll make a movie or a documentary out of your book?
Well, I don't think it would be, I mean, you could make a documentary and I certainly would welcome that, but I think you could also make a biopic out of this book, but it would have to be with as much care as we all did to honor John. Like you don't want to have, I wouldn't want it to be a bad biopic, you know, but so I think you could do that. I think you could do a lot of things with this.
It'd be weird if you said, no, it's just a book. We're going to stop right there.
Yeah. You know, my last book was about the Canadian sketch troupe, The Kids in the Hall, and that actually was made into a documentary series on Amazon Prime. So
they did a good job with it too.
They did actually. I have to brag because I'm an executive producer on that, and I won my first Canadian Screen Award, which is, you know, it's a good one in this country. And I never would have won a Canadian Screen Award if I hadn't written the book. So you never know where these things take you.
Paul Myers is on, author of John Candy, A Life in Comedy. What do you think of Rush going back out on tour, being Canadian?
I am thrilled. thrilled. When I was 16, I'm a musician, and when I was 16, my first band used to play Kiss covers and Rush covers, and I know a lot of Rush songs until they started getting too hard for a guy like me to learn when I was 16. But they got more progressive as they got older, and I was like, wow, I can't play that. But I've been reading Geddy Lee's memoir. I've been reading Geddy Lee's memoir. It's called My F in Life. It came out last year. And I'm in Toronto reading this book, and then I hear that Rush are reuniting, and couldn't be happier for them. And everyone here, it's like there's the Jays and Rush are the two things that everyone's talking about up here. So
yeah, it's weird. Like you grew up on Rush and Kiss, and there's big stories from both, one sad and one happy in the same week.
Yeah. And they cross over because – you know, there's a whole touching segment in Geddy's book about Ace Frehley backstage, you know, how he was so funny, and Rush used to love talking to Ace. And, you know, and Gene was keeping to himself, but Ace was always talking to the other bands, and, you know, and Paul Stanley, too. So it's really neat to see that they all knew each other, you know, and they all hung out with each other. So it was really cool.
Yeah.
You said Frehley correctly, too.
Yeah. Look at you.
I'm a music journalist. I'm a music journalist, and I also have the Record Store Day podcast. So I'm constantly doing music all the time as well. So
we're gonna track you down and like bug you to come on and talk about music in the future. But we got to let you go now, Paul. Yeah, thanks for coming on, Paul Myers, author of John Candy: A Life in Comedy. Thank you, brother. And they hung up. They didn't even they didn't even let him say goodbye. Like, really?
Yeah.
That's not very Canadian of them.
No,
that's
not very nice. No, that was from New York.
That was New York.
That was New York. Yeah, yeah. That was the New York office saying, click.
Yeah.
I want to ask Commander Keith if he's going to be wearing a costume tonight at the Monsters Ball, but it might be tied into his list.
It is.
Okay.
Oh.
We'll just go right to it.
Commander Keith's top five.
Top five.
Okay. Monsters Ball tonight. Basically, the whole month of October now is Halloween or something. So Labor Day ends, and it's like, get your pumpkins or whatever. So here are my top five reasons that I'm a Halloween Scrooge. So here we go. Number five, it starts with this. It's my hatred of all horror movies. I hate jump scares. In fact, I hate any horror movies where people are jumping out of things in the darkness. So pass. I also hate gore and blood. So the number one movie in the country is this Black Phone 2. Like, that is a movie I'm never seeing. It's like a guy, he jumps out of the shadows. I think there's tons of blood. Like, ugh, get out of here.
All the things you hate.
Right, in one. Now, my exception to this rule is if they are nominated for Best Picture, or the buzz is just so nuts. Like, the whole world is talking about
it. What's the last horror movie you saw?
Jeez, like, I
or
can't.
Or one that you saw and it comes to mind.
Right, like Blair Witch, but that's from, like, 1999.
That's
these
a long
are
time
old.
Ago.
Yeah, yeah. Sixth Sense. Like, these are old. I have not seen a modern-day horror movie because none of them have been nominated for Best Picture.
The Conjuring?
There was buzz, but like, no, not nominated for Best Picture, so pass. Mm-hmm. That's like, if you're into horror movies, this is a good one. But I'm not into horror movies, so I don't care. I need it to say, this is a horror movie, Get Out. That's the last one I saw. That was nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, Get Out.
So like, this is such a great movie beyond being like a niche horror movie.
That's kind of not even really a horror movie.
Yeah, that's what I need. But any of these other ones, Black Phone 2, no, never. That guy's character's name is The Grabber. Did you know that? Grabby? I'm sure Ruth
I knew
it.
A guy like that.
Right.
My prison name.
Right.
That's my grandfather, yeah.
Number four. The other problem here is the children being tired, the night going on too long, all of it. Now, this is less of a problem for me now. Now the problem is my daughter's in college and like...
What's happening?
Right. The costumes came to my house. And so she picked up the costumes at my
house. Not a lot of material?
Right. The box was like this. You can't see me. But
it's
the
like
box
an envelope.
The box was like an envelope. I go, what are we dressing
Where's
as?
The rest of your
It costume? Fit through the mail slot on the door. Yeah.
She's like, I'm dressed, I'm going to be a fairy or something. I go, like a nude fairy? Like, what is this outfit? Yeah. So next week she has it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of like whatever slut-a-ween. Like these outfits need to be burned or get lost. So in the old days when she would buy clothes that I found
when
inappropriate.
When you see them tonight, it'll be okay.
Totally different.
Totally fine. Right, totally fine.
She used to buy sort of these kind of clothes, and they would just disappear. That's what would happen. She'd be like, where are the clothes? I was like, oh,
the
I don't know.
Fairy
maybe
grab them.
Maybe right. They're at your mom's house or the laundry. Right. I don't know. Yeah. But like, I couldn't do this with these Halloween outfits, and she took them back to college for whatever's happening next weekend.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Number three. Since when has this become a decorating holiday? You get one decorating holiday. That is Christmas. You don't get two. So besides these giant skeletons, my neighborhood is full of people with lights on their houses. Like, it's orange, like Halloween lights. No. You get a pumpkin. End of list. Nothing.
So you gotta pick it, one. You gotta pick Christ or Satan.
right. Yep, okay. That's the rule. Yeah. Right. Santa or skeleton. You pick.
Pick one.
I think decorating for Halloween and the money attached to this, get out of here. Or you don't do Christmas. Fine. I don't care. You pick one. That's my new policy. I'm gonna walk around my neighborhood, actually, and I'm gonna tell them. And they're gonna say, there's why do you live here, sir? Number two, you sort of alluded to this earlier. Anyone who knows me knows that I hate costumes. I hate Halloween costume parties. I hate regular costume parties. I hate nights that are like, dressed like the Roaring Twenties. No, I think it's stupid. I'm almost 50. No one almost 50 should be wearing a costume. It should actually be a law. So I will see you tonight dressed as Keith. I will be this. I will look exactly. I have a different shirt. My shirt is Halloween-ish. So that's all you're getting.
There's a pumpkin on it?
Yeah, you'll see me and be like, oh, Halloween-ish.
Yeah.
So, but do not come up to me tonight and be like, where's your costume? Never. You should have seen me in 1984. That's it. That's the last time you get my costume.
Well, there's your marching orders for tonight. Yeah. See Commander Keith. Ask him where his costume is.
Yep.
So you'll hear him before you see him, for sure.
Exactly right.
So Dawn, who works here, loves this event, goes every year, right? So she came up to me yesterday. She's like, what are you going to wear? I go, nothing. Stop. No. I'm 100 years old. I'm going to have 4 IPAs, and I'm going to be mad about something, and then I'm going to go home. And I'm not going to wear a costume, and that's how it goes.
That's the spirit.
Yes. Yeah. That's how my nights go now.
And then he's going to wait for the great pumpkin.
Right. Number one. The number one thing I hate about Halloween is I'm not a chocolate person. So I'll have a few M&Ms randomly to mix it up. But if you want to give me a giant candy bar or a full box of Cheez-Its, this is an easy choice. I'm taking down the Cheez-Its, mozzarella sticks, or even a Godiva chocolate cake. I go mozzarella sticks. Wow. So if Halloween was like trick-or-treating for apps from bad chain restaurants, well, then maybe we could talk.
Now you're dressing up.
Right. Yeah. Now maybe I'm something. But this candy. No, don't get out of here. This holiday sucks. You know. And also, you know what?
Our costume contest at the Monsters Ball,
yes,
was a year supply of hot dogs, Cheez-Its, and mozzarella sticks.
That would be tremendous. I might dress
up. You're dressing up.
He's down with that.
But know that there's probably people there already setting up their like stupid costume to try to win. So good luck.
What do you mean already? They've been doing it for weeks.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, right. That's what Ruth does. Oh, I work on it since 1987. And this year I'm going to unveil it. And I'm the monster from the something that you've never heard of.
There's nothing worse than a guy not in a costume telling you who've been working on your costume for weeks, you're not winning money.
Wait. The Substance. That was nominated for Best Picture. Okay. I saw that.
All right.
And I hated it. Huh. So gory and, I mean, the nudity part at the start was excellent, but so gory and terrible at the end. All right, that's it, guys. I'll see you
tonight. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween.
Yeah,
Commander Keith's Top 5.